about loving wisdom. Loving wisdom is the first key to a successful life. Remember that. Loving wisdom, embracing wisdom. The second key to successful living is to tame your tongue. Tame your tongue. And the third one we're going to talk about today is taking it on the chin. Let's pray and ask God to teach us this morning from His Word. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You that You've given us principles that will make our lives successful. We thank You, Lord, that You are not only concerned about eternity, but You're concerned about the here and now. And You want our lives to experience the abundance and joy that Your Word can bring. We ask You this morning to give us a hungry and teachable heart. We pray, Lord, You said that You are the author of all wisdom, that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's why we pray this morning that You would give us wisdom, give us understanding of the things we look at today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, today in society, by and large, for most of us, not for everyone, but for most of us, taking criticism is a very difficult thing to do. Taking constructive criticism or unconstructive criticism, it really doesn't matter, is very difficult to do. If someone has a thought, being a parent, if someone has a thought of, for me about how I could raise my child a little better, usually it's very easy to get defensive. If someone has, for instance, the boss at work, if he has some input, some things he'd like to tell you, whether they're good or bad, and he uses flowery language or not, usually it's not that easy to take. We like to be self-sufficient. Man likes to be self-sufficient. Man likes to be his own man, her own woman. And we really don't like to be told what to do. There's a song out today by Huey Lewis in the news, and it's all about that. I don't like to be told what to do. Don't tell me what to do. I just want to live my own life the way I want to live it. I like things fast because I know good things don't last. So I want everything to be fast. I want it my way. And that's the way man is. Man wants to do things his own way. And I'd like to share three things with you this morning, briefly, from my own testimony, before we go over some of these verses this morning. This area that we're going to talk about today has probably been the most beneficial area that we've covered so far in my life. I mean, all of these, understand, are interconnected. You really can't separate wisdom from the tongue from this area. But God has probably used the constructive criticism and reproof and advice of close friends in my life more than anything else that God has used in my life. And it's not always been that easy to take. I remember the first time someone shared something with me. I was just a new Christian, and I forget what it was. I just remember the instance. And boy, you know, I just wasn't too excited about that at all. I mean, who was this person getting off telling me that they thought I didn't do this very well and I ought to be different. I ought to change, and here's what I ought to do. And in the flesh, I wanted to hit him in the mouth, you know, because it was something that I thought I was being pretty sincere about. And they thought, you know, from what they told me, I wasn't being very sincere. I was really mad. And since that time, and that's been 11 years ago, God has really made some drastic changes in my life and in my attitudes towards the input from other people. In fact, what you have in your paper this morning is the result of someone else's input, namely Brent's and a few others who have suggested maybe it'd be good if you put some notes together. Well, you know, I've never been a note type person, but I think there's some real wisdom behind that. And I decided that a wise man takes advice. So let's do it. That's all there is to it. Just do it. And I think you benefit from it this morning. I've taken advice about my marital relationship, my dating relationship, my jobs, what kind of a car to buy. But that hasn't always been easy to do. But the person that's been the most difficult for me to take anything from has been my wife. And you husbands are going to know what I'm talking about this morning. And you wives are going to know what I'm talking about. And you're going to be so glad that he talked about that this morning. But I'd have to say that as God has been developing my life in this, that, you know, some guy walked up to me and some brother, maybe an older guy in the church that, you know, I respected, boy, I'd really act real humble and, oh yeah, that's really good, and that's really good for my life. But if it was my wife, it was a whole other story. Number one, she was a woman. And what does a woman know anyway? Number two, she needed to submit anyway. So I don't want that kind of input from you. I don't want to know what I'm doing bad. I heard enough from everyone else, so I don't want to hear, I don't want no negative vibes, no rejection, you know? You're right, that's just what it is, really stupid. But that's the way I was. And God is slowly and surely changing me. Now, my wife is my best counselor. And my most, I covet her counsel and her advice, her input. What she thinks about our meetings. What she thinks about the way I speak. What she thinks about the clothes I wear. You know, how can I excel? How can I improve? How does she perceive my fathering? How can I get better? Now, I'm not perfect. It's still not always easy, but it's gotten much, much better. And thirdly, I've seen that God has changed my attitude towards criticism. I used to think this. A wise man is wise. Why? Because he knows everything. Well, he wouldn't be a wise. A mature person is a mature as a person who knew the answer. You didn't have to go tell him otherwise. That's what made him mature. And the reason all these people were coming to me and had all these suggestions for me is simply because I wasn't mature. If I was mature, and if I was wise, then I'd already know all these things, and they wouldn't have to tell me these things. My life would be so together and so perfect that I'd never need anyone's advice. Well, I began to discover, and it was through the Living Proverbs. I have to be honest. It was through, as I began reading the Living Proverbs in this particular paraphrase, that God began to strike me that the opposite is true. Just the opposite is true. A wise man is not the man who knows everything, but a wise man is a man who's hungry to learn and excel and improve in every area of his life. And he's more than willing to let you say whatever you think and whatever you feel would be helpful to his life. I'd like to look at some of these verses with you this morning. Take your little sheet here and you'll see with me which ones we're going to look at. In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 through 9. It says, if you rebuke a mocker, it's page 24, you will only get a smart retort. Yes, he will snarl at you. So don't bother him. He will only hate you for trying to help him. But a wise man, when rebuked, will love you all the more. Teach a wise man and he'll be the wiser. Teach a good man and he will learn more. The way you look at a proverb is you can analyze yourself with almost every proverb. You can ask yourself, do I snarl? Do I have a quick defense, a quick answer whenever anyone has something to say to me? Then you're a mocker. You're not a wise man. You're a mocker. You see, your behavior is what you are, not what you think you are. But it's what you are. And so, if in our relationships, if with the boss, if with our wife, if with a roommate, when someone's got a suggestion to make to us, and the first thing we come back with is some kind of a smart answer, that's not true wisdom. That's not true wisdom. In fact, if you know a person like that, and you think, boy, somebody needs to say something to him, and every time you do, don't. Don't say anything to him. They'll just hate you all the more. They'll just hate you all the more. The Bible says that a scoffer, he'll either rage or laugh when you reprove him. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. But a wise man, if you teach a wise man, he will listen and he won't get mad. He will appreciate it. That's characteristic of a wise man. Proverbs 10. Verse 8, page 25. The wise man is glad to be instructed, but a self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face. You ever find someone that just seems to be down in the dumps all the time? It just seems like everything they do never works? It just seems like they're falling one thing after another. You want to know why? Because they are unwilling to take any instruction. And they think they're self-sufficient, they think they got everything together and they don't need any help. And they're always falling all over themselves. They got all kinds of trouble. They got all kinds of difficulties. But a wise man is happy to be instructed. He loves to get advice. He loves to, what do you think? What, you know? Sometimes, well, we're going to get to this. I won't say this yet. Look at verse 15 in chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 1, I'm sorry. Page 30. The first two verses we looked at were the characteristics of a wise man. This reveals the desire of a wise man. Chapter 12, verse 1, page 30. To learn, you must want to be taught. To refuse reproof is stupid. Verse 15. A fool thinks he needs no advice, but a wise man listens to others. In chapter 21 and verse 11, all these verses relate. Page 61. A wise man learns by listening. The simpleton can learn only by seeing scorners punished. See, a wise man never has to go that far. A wise man is willing to listen. A wise man knows he needs the instruction of others. To think you know it all and don't need others is very foolish. And sometime down the road, it will get you in big trouble. That's characteristic of a wise man. Husbands, you know, I found being married, it becomes innately much more difficult to take the counsel and advice and reproof of other people. Well, I'm a family man now. I got a family. I got children. I don't tell me what I'm not doing right. I'm doing the best I can. But that's not characteristic of a wise person. A wise person is always looking, what can I learn? There's more that I can learn. There's more I can learn from that person next to me. I need their advice. But in order to learn, you must want to be taught. That's got to be the desire of your heart. And it can't be faked. I've seen that happen. People who ask, oh yes, oh, well, what do you think I should do? And they listen, and then they go off, and they do something totally different than they were given the advice to do. You see, what you do shows if you're a wise person. When you get the advice, do you take it? Do you heed it? Do you love to be taught? Proverbs 10, chapter 17. Page 26. Anyone willing to be corrected is on the pathway to life. Anyone refusing has lost his chance. I wrote down, the pathway to real living is for the person who is glad to be corrected. To refuse is to be on the road to disaster. Real living, isn't that encouraging? Real living comes from taking advice. Real living comes from being hungry to learn from others. It comes from a teachable, humble spirit that says, boy, instruct me. You know, I've found this to be true. There's a proverb that says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will end in disaster. And I found that in Christianity today, this island self-sufficient type Joe macho super spiritual Christian is really the end thing today. The guy, boy, he's got his Bible mastered backward and forward. He's got his theology down right and left. He's got his doctrine down right and left. And man, he's got life together. We'll go and maybe we'll have our little devotion time. And what's most important to us often is what we get out of the Word, not what someone else shared with us. And I'll tell you something God really used to change my life. One of the things He used to change my life in this era were tapes. And I mean this sincerely. There were men that I really respected that I knew, and I couldn't be with them. I knew I couldn't be with them at this particular time in my life. But I thought, Lord, how can I apply that principle? I can't walk with them, but I can be with their teaching. So I got their tapes, and I let them spoon-feed me. And I applied these verses. A wise man loves to be taught. I said, all right, God, boy, there's things I don't know, and I'm not sure how to get them out of this book. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I would have ever gotten them out of this book on my own. Some of the things that God has built in my life now, it's just like I'm just a baby, and someone was sticking a spoon in my mouth. But I'll tell you what, every day I was sure encouraged. Every day, boy, I sure had something out of the Word that God really built my life up with. And it was from something someone else was able to contribute to my life. God used that immensely in my life. That's just one practical thing that God used. Let's look at Proverbs 15. Excuse me, I turned my page over. Proverbs 13:10. Page 35. Pride leads to arguments. Be humble, take advice, and become wise. My little comment down there was, do you like to argue? Are you easy to give advice to? Give up your pride by taking others' advice and you'll become very wise. Like I said, you can always tell what's in the heart by what comes out of the mouth and out of the life. You may ask yourself, you husbands, you can go home and ask your wife, honey, where do you think I am? And ask yourself, do I get in sparring bouts with my wife a lot? You know, am I willing to take advice? A person who likes to argue is just arrogant. That's all there is to it. There's arrogance in the heart. But a person who's humble will take advice. You see, even if the advice is wrong, I've had that happen a lot of times. I've had people share things with me, and man, they were so far out in left field. And I never told them that. I never told them. I thought it'd be better for my life if I just kept my mouth shut. I've had people make assumptions and share things with me that would just blow you away. Well, I tell you, the Lord has a sense of humor, doesn't he? I've been having a real problem with my sinuses. I'm sorry. I have this thorn in the flesh. And I really do. I really do. I have problems with my adenoids, and I have a crooked septum. And one of my nostrils is usually always plugged up. In the last 2 weeks, it's really been, you know, it's time to like to cut my head off, set it over here, and put another one on for a while, a spare one, and I'll let it air out, you know. But it gives me a real hard time breathing. I apologize. And that was a bad pun. Blah, I tell you. Well, anyway. I'll hear that later. Mark, you got to quit blowing your nose up there in front of it. Anyway. See if there's... Anyway, getting back to what I was saying. I've had people say all kinds of things to me, and I've had people make assumptions about things that were, you know, absolutely wrong. And I'm learning. I'm not, like I said, I'm not always perfect, but I'm learning to take it and tell them thank you, and tell them I'll sure consider what they shared with me. And that's not always easy to do, but I guarantee that your life will grow and develop as you do that. I skipped one. I really wanted to cover this one. Proverbs 12:26. Again, the good man asks advice from friends. The wicked plunge ahead and fall. Proverbs 18:15. The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Though good advice lies deep within a counselor's heart, the wise man will draw it out. This is one of the reasons why I'm very anti-traditional. I like traditions, but I'm always open to new ideas. People who are stuck in their ruts are not wise. People who are wise are always open to new ideas. The intelligent man, the wise man, is always looking for new and innovative ways to communicate truth, new and innovative ways to build people up in Christ. There's some things they work without question. The Bible says, that's what I think is interesting about the Bible. It says, love builds up, pride puffs up. God never gave a certain method. He just said, love will build up. Love might be having a water balloon fight. Love might be playing softball. Love might be humor. Love might be serious. Love might be whatever it takes to build people up. And you'll know by the effect that it has. Are people coming around? Then love is being shown. Nobody wants to be around, no matter what your system is. There's not love. Wisdom is always vindicated by its fruit. And I wrote down here, a wise man doesn't just wait for someone to give him advice. He will actually seek it out. A foolish person will simply go ahead without seeking any advice, and he will pay the price. When I wrote down this thing, hit me with your best shot, then when I read this, here's what struck me. My dad always used to tell me. He says, Mark, you always got to get off first. If you want to win your fight, you always got to beat the other man to the punch. And you watch that in fights. The guy who's jabbing, the guy who's first to the punch, will always, always win the fight unless he gets just caught cold with some lucky, fluky punch. He'll always outscore and outmaneuver and outbox the other man. Here's what a wise man, here's why I say that about a wise man. A wise man won't just go, okay, well, I'm ready, go ahead, hit me. He'll actually go out and seek it out. He'll actually go out and say, listen, to his roommate, or to a friend, or to his mother, to his father, or to whoever. Where do you think I can grow? Did you think that was the best way to do that? Could it be better? That's what a wise man will do. He'll do both. He'll take it, but he'll also seek it. He'll seek it from a friend. He'll get it from a friend. He's always thinking, well, I'm open to new ideas. How can this be better? In other words, you see, a wise man's not personally attached to his ideas. His self-image is not wrapped up in this image that he portrays. He knows, look, my honor's with God. I'm just simply here. I want to learn. I'm a learner. And I'll always be a learner. The day I become, not become a learner, I'll be an arrogant man and I'll be on the pathway to destruction in my life. And I want God to increase that in my life. It needs to increase. It needs to increase with all of us. Proverbs 13:14. It says, the advice of a wise man refreshes like water from a mountain spring. Those accepting it become aware of the pitfalls on ahead. I wrote down, if you accept advice from others, you'll become aware of the dangers up ahead on life's road, thereby avoiding the dangerous potholes. If you don't get advice, more than likely one of the potholes will swallow you alive. I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen with people. I had that happen with a friend. He wanted to get married. I told him, I don't think you ought to get married. It's one of the few times. But I was honest with him. I said, I don't think you ought to get married. I don't think this is the girl you ought to marry. I think you're going to have some tremendous problems. And a year later, he was divorced in a very bitter marriage. A very bitter man. Excuse me. But the advice of a wise man refreshes. It's refreshing. And it gives you clues to the dangerous potholes ahead on life's road. You see, life's road is not like our road construction crews that fill in the potholes. The potholes are there. You've got to know how to avoid them, and you've got to know what they are. Two things are important here. You've got to know what the pothole looks like, and you need to know where it is in life's road. The only way you're going to know that, because you haven't traveled all life's road, is if you talk to the traveler who's been there already and who's seen it and who can describe it to you and tell you how to successfully maneuver around it. That's what a wise man is like. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 18. I want to look at a whole bunch here, and then I want to make a comment on it. Proverbs 13, 18. This is maybe my favorite verse. If you refuse criticism, you will end up in poverty and disgrace. It's page 36. If you accept criticism, you are on the road to fame. Look at chapter 15 in verse 31 and 32. This is another one of my favorite ones. If you profit from constructive criticism, you'll be elected to the wise man's hall of fame. But to reject criticism is to harm yourself and your own best interest. Chapter 24 and verse 26. Page 72. It is an honor to receive a frank reply. A frank reply simply means, you know, there's some people who just say whatever on their mind. Today we're talking about the listener. We're not talking about the talker. Last week I talked about your tongue. But still there's going to be people who just lay it on you, man. They just don't know how to talk any other way. It is an honor for you to receive that kind of a reply. It's an honor for you. Chapter 25 and verse 12 says, it is a badge of honor to accept valid criticism. In chapter 23 and verse 12, page 68, don't refuse to accept criticism. Get all the help you can. Now, I want to read what I wrote down here and then comment on it. I generalized here and wrote down all, but I wrote, all the female Olympic gymnasts hope to hire the famous Romanian teacher Bella, the guru for Nadia Comăneci and Mary Lou Retton, because they know that under his watchful and critical eye, the road to fame and the gold medal will be just around the corner. Some of you here have been athletes in your high school days, or you've been involved maybe in drama, or you've been involved in music. But one of the things that's very characteristic about athletes is this, especially the ones that go to the Olympics, and especially gymnasts, track people, fighters. They're always looking for someone who can take their raw talent and make it better. And I want to tell you, I've watched some of these people in action, and they're not always very nice. You know, when Bella was working with Mary Lou Retton, he didn't just always talk in the most flowery tone. You know, have you seen that 7-Up commercial? Harris, you're going to have to start hitting from out there, Harris! You seen that? Anybody seen that commercial? Drinking the Mountain Dew and the rain starts coming down? That's the way coaches are. If you can't take it, you can't play the game. And a wise man will actually go out and look for someone who can coach him. Ronaldo, Nehemiah, Willie Gault, when those guys were running track, they're always looking for someone who can coach them. Do you remember Chariots of Fire? Do you remember not the man that Chariot of Fire was all about, but the Jew, Ben, I forget his last name, that he ran against? Remember when he was trying to get that, I think the guy was an Arab, to train him in track? Remember that? How many remember the guy I'm talking about? And remember he kept telling him, look, don't look back. You lost that race because you looked back. You were worrying about the other guy, and boy, that kid didn't like hearing that. But it got his attention, and that's who he wanted to train him, because he knew that guy would be honest with him. You remember all the high stepping he was doing and all the work, and this guy was trying to remold his whole character, his whole way that he ran, his stride. You see, when you run, just the way you stride makes all the difference in the world. My wife used to run, and the coach was always trying to work on her to stride different, to stride smooth. You see, a smooth stride isn't always natural, and some people have it natural. You have to work on it, and if you're not willing to take advice, you might as well quit the team. But if you're willing to be molded in the hands of someone who knows how to make you into a champion, you're on the road to fame. And that's what these young girls do. I was watching a girl the other day, a young girl, she's 13 years old, and her mother is really kind of an exciting human interest story. It costs $20,000 a year for her to be trained by Bella. She has to live in Texas. She's away from home all the time. She's a special tutor. Her mother's away from her husband all the time. She's down there watching the little girl train. I'll tell you what, he's not very easy on her. And she works 8 to 9 hours a day. Sometimes, you know, same with ice skaters. You know, there's a price to be paid, and the price is, will you take the criticism? Will you take it on the chin? Will you let people get in there and improve your life? You'll be on the road to fame. You'll end up with the gold medal around your neck. Let's look real quickly at Proverbs 15:5. Proverbs 15 and chapter 5. It says, only a fool despises his father's advice. A wise son considers each suggestion. I thought I'd just throw this in for you young people, for moms and dads. The Bible says to honor your parents. One of the greatest ways you can honor your parents is to take and to go get their advice. Sometimes their advice may be real good, and other times their advice may not be real good. It may not be possible to do. But a wise son, here's the point, a wise son or daughter will at least consider their suggestion. He won't just throw it off, say, well, you don't even know anything about the Bible, and who are you? Who are they? They've been through life. They're the one who brought you in the world. They're the one who changed all your dirty diapers. They're the one who put meal after meal in front of you as you grew up. They're the one who washed all your clothes. They're the one who put a roof over your head, no matter what they're like. A wise son will at least give consideration to what particular words of wisdom they might have for life. I had an interesting discussion with my father the other day. My father called me. My father now lives in California. My father's gone through a lot of changes in life. And they started out good, and then, you know, he took a different path. But I was real intrigued the other day. He called me on the phone. My father's a history buff. And the other day I was telling him on the phone I've been trying to read as much as I can and acquire some understanding, some of the understanding that he had. And man, did he lay into me. He said, Mark, he said, you get in the book. You stay in the book. He said, the biggest mistake I ever made was reading my Bible. I thought, well, that's great, Dad. I didn't say that. I thought, well, all right, Dad, I'll take that advice. I'm in the Bible. I do it. But I didn't tell him that. You know, sure, you're right. You're right. I need to be in it more. That's true. I need to be devoted to it. I need to have it be in my mind all the time. But here's a warning from a man who's like Solomon, who has ended his life now by simply telling me, Mark, when all's said and done, fear God and do what he says. And it was real, real interesting. But a wise son. Our parents have a wealth of wisdom. A wise man will draw on their advice. A fool won't bother to ask. Won't even bother. Proverbs 15:12. Just got a few more here hanging there. A mocker stays away from wise men because he hates to be scolded. Now there's another thing. Isn't that interesting? You can always tell, by a person's friends. A wise man, he just won't even hang around. Or a fool won't even hang around with wise men because he knows that he's going to have to learn something. He doesn't want to learn it, so he won't even go near them. But a wise man wants to be with wise people. Be with wise men, be wise. Be with fools, and in a disaster. We see that happen all the time with young people. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. It says, a rebuke to a man of common sense is more effective than 100 lashes on the back of a rebel. Isn't that interesting? You know you're dealing with a rebel when you could hit him a million times and it would make no dent in his pride. You know you're with a man of common sense when a simple rebuke is all it takes. And boy, it has a real effect. He really takes it to heart. One of the characteristics of a mocker is the company he doesn't keep. Wise men are not his companions because he hates to be told anything. In fact, you couldn't even beat it into him. That's what I gather from this particular verse. You couldn't even beat it into the back of a rebel. If it's really rebellion and it's really gone, it's full road, it'll just do no good. Proverbs 15:22. Plans go wrong with too few counselors. Many counselors bring success. 19 verse 20. We're going to talk about success now and end on that. Get all the advice you can and be wise the rest of your life. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. Page 70. Don't go to war without wise guidance. There is safety in many counselors. In Proverbs 28 and verse 13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. I wrote down to the man who gets a lot of advice, success is inevitable. A wise man is not the man who knows everything. He's the man who knows that his success depends on the contributions of others. He willingly allows others to point out mistakes, gladly receives their criticisms, makes the necessary changes, and has great success. I guarantee you, you do these things. And you will be successful. Your marriage will be successful. Your family nurturing of your children will be successful. Your relationship with your wife will be successful. Your job will be successful. Everything you do will be successful if you apply these principles to life. If you apply them to life. I know people that refuse to admit mistakes. Absolutely refuse. I've talked to young people, some of you in this room, that have told me they never had their parents apologize to them in all the time they grew up. That's tragic. You'll lose your chance. If you proceed on that path and just continue down that path, finally there'll be no hope left. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 and 24, 26. This is pretty potent, these particular ones. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. And then chapter 24 and verse 26, I'll just read it. Again, it is an honor to receive a frank reply. I wrote down, a wise man would rather have open correction than silent allegiance. He would rather have an honest and frank reply than a bunch of flattering kisses. That's the way a wise man is. The last verse, Proverbs 29:1. The man who is often reproved but refuses to accept criticism will suddenly be broken and never have another chance. I've also seen this happen with person, far too many people. They refused and refused and refused and refused to take advice. Do you understand what I mean by take advice? I don't mean that you go ask someone's advice and listen and leave. What take advice means is that you get their opinion and then you go do it. That's taking advice. Wisdom is not an acquiring of knowledge, an accumulation of knowledge, but it is the pursuit of a greater understanding, a greater excelling and improvement in one's own life. And the reason is because you go out and put it into practice. You put it into practice. Now, there's where the little verse that comes, it says, a multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. That's why I always usually get more than one opinion. Usually always what my wife tells me, she's right on the money. I found that. Before long, if I don't do it, I have two or three other people tell me the same thing. It's almost been inevitable. Almost every time. So I have a lot of confidence in what she says. But usually I'll go and ask people, well, what did you think? Was this? What about this? And I'll get, and boy, if they all agree, even if they don't, the majority does, boy, I make the changes just like that, whether I feel like it or not. I just make the change. In summary, summary keys to success. Number one, listen to advice. Number two, seek advice. Number three, take it on the chin no matter if it hurts. Number four, willingly admit when you're wrong. Number five, don't take it personally. We haven't talked about that, but underline that. Don't take it personally. And number six, remember the reward of success and never forget that to refuse advice brings disaster. Let's thank the Lord. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will bring its success. God, I pray that these things would never leave our minds. I pray that we never forget these truths. And pray, God, that you would change my life in this. God, I want to be like this. I want to be more like this. I want to be wise. I want to be elected to the Wise Man's Hall of Fame. Lord, I want my life to be successful. I want each one here's life to be successful. Might we apply these simple but practical truths to our lives? I know we'll experience the joy and fulfillment that they bring. In Jesus' name, amen.